listener production.
Hello and welcome to Just the Gist, the podcast where I recap anything and everything by giving you just the gist of what you need to know. And tonight we've got the Bachelor finale, and for the first time ever, Jacob and I are in the same place at the same time. Hello!
Cheers, baby.
Ding,
cakes.
Ding, 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 ding. So the Bachelor finale, just aired on television. I watched it while drinking wine in the studio. You were, I assume, at a pub somewhere.
Quite a fancy restaurant, actually.
Yeah, well, you were on strict instructions not to look at anything on the internet so that you don't know what happens or who won.
Mm-hmm. I'm clueless.
And so here we are.
Okay.
Face to face.
You're smiling.
Me,
does that mean you're happy with the
me
outcome?
With my lover,
mwah.
Jacob. Mm. Jacob Stanley. All right, are you ready for this?
I am if you are, yeah.
I feel weird because, like, the finale was so heightened and emotional and, like, fun to watch, but we've got a recap Wednesday night.
Uh-huh.
So, are you ready for this?
Yep.
So, last week, who got booted? Who was the fourth? Who was the one who got booted last week? Was it
Stage
Accent? 5 Pube Stealer?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So, she went. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
And so, the three we were left with were Abby, Chelsea, the boring scientist, and Helena, who was like, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The one who, like, went nuts and kicked him out, but then really secretly just wanted him to come back, you know. And so they're the three we're left with. And so on Wednesday night, we have basically Astro Bachi having his final three dates with each of them. So he can, like, decide who the final two will be. And so we open on him, like, bushwalking through, like, some rocks.
Shirtless.
Well, no, here's the thing. His shirt's on, but then he gets to the top of the rocks and he's, like, looking out over, like, what I assume is, like, Barara. You know, it's, like, somewhere in the north of Sydney. And he's just standing there looking at the view and then just inexplicably takes his shirt off because he needs to do some serious thinking. And so then he looks out onto the bush of, you know, what is, I, you know, Outer Hornsby. So anyway, I think this is the last chance for him to show off the abs that he starved really hard for, because you and I both read all those articles about how Channel 10 basically put him on a starvation diet and, like, made him go to the gym and cut his hair and
paid off.
Did it? I mean, I think his dad bod was cute, but you know me, I like a nerdy nerd boy.
A cuddle toy. Yeah.
You know that's what I like. You've seen every guy I've ever dated. So anyway, you know, he's showing off the abs, standing on this rock, and that's what it is. So now we just go to the three dates. The first of which is with Chelsea. And, you know, she's a scientist with abs, and they both have that in common. And they just both keep talking about how that's what they have in common. And they talk about how they both live in Melbourne, so it's meant to be.
There we go.
Because proximity is clearly the decider of true love.
If it's convenient, it's just that much more romantic.
So they both just keep talking about how they both live in Melbourne, and then he picks her up in a fancy car, and they kiss, and they giggle, and they talk about science and their abs, and then they go and stand on, like, a jetty, like, on the water, and they kiss and they giggle and they talk about science and their abs. And then a seaplane comes and picks them up and they kiss and they giggle and they talk about science and their abs. This is kind of all they do. And then you know that, like, they're desperate for filler, and also that the budget's so low, so they're trying to trick you into thinking this is way better than what it is, because they spend, like, 5 minutes talking about how amazing the seaplane is. It's like, oh my God, one second we were on the water and the next second we were in the air. And then Chelsea's like, I can't believe it. It's like one second we were a boat and the next second we were a plane. And it's like, you guys are both scientists, yes? Like, do you not understand the mechanics of what goes into this?
Is this a Hyundai seaplane?
Yeah, I don't. There was no branding. It was more just like, this date is so shit, so let's highlight that we paid for a seaplane. It's a seaplane and it goes from the water to the air, and Chelsea and Astro Bachi really want us to know. So they're on the seaplane. Then they go, oh, they get off the seaplane. They just go on it and then they get off it.
Oh, they don't even land.
Yeah, no, they jump out. No, they just fly around for
just 10 an aerial
minutes.
Tour.
Yeah, yeah,
no
yeah.
Destination,
an aerial tour of the outer area of Barara that they're looking at. And then they go to a magic sex couch, which is next to like a pool. So I'm guessing they're set up in some kind of, you know, ridges somewhere. And and if you want to pay us money, ridges, we're open to sponsorship. And they sit by the pool and they just like talk about their science and their abs. And then because like, it is just such a shocker and it's like so amazing that there's a smart woman on this show. He pulls out a safe and he's like, there's a present for you in this safe, but you need to solve a maths equation to get the numeric code to open this safe. And it's like very sweet and nerdy and he gives her all these questions like, on our first date, we like baked banana bread and the temperature of the oven had to be this number and the amount of time it needed to be in the oven was this number. So like long division, maths, blah, blah, blah. And so like he makes her do all this stuff and then he makes her like solve this equation. And it's just kind of like, oh my God, like there's a lady who's smart and like I can't believe there's a woman who has a brain and like this is basically like finding Bigfoot riding a unicorn. Like, it's just unheard of. Like, it just feels a little sexist how much they're highlighting that there's a smart woman on the show. Like, it just, like, and it's also like, that's not the only kind of smart. Like, I fucking can't do long division, but I've written two best-selling books.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, my books do so well and were so critically acclaimed that I'm still fucking paying rent with them 5 years later. Like, but I can't times 35 by 52.
Not without a pen and paper, no.
Well, not without my iPhone, no. Like, pen and paper? I couldn't do it with a pen and paper. Are you joking? I just think there's different kinds of intelligence. And I've always had, I'm good at words and language and I can craft a freaking joke like you couldn't believe, but I couldn't answer the questions he was asking her to answer. So I would never crack that safe open, which she did in about 30 seconds.
Right.
And inside is a necklace with the chemical formula for oxytocin on it, which is the tattoo she gave him on the red carpet back at the start.
Yes.
Remember, I thought it was OxyContin.
Yes, yes, yes.
So it's like quite a meaningful, lovely gift.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's what he gives her. And then they sit there and it's her job to say that she loves him at this point because on the hometown date, you remember, she said, I'm falling. And then she started laughing and couldn't say it and got really nervous. And so he keeps saying to her, like looking her right in the eye and going, if there's anything you want to tell me, you really need to tell me. If there's something you want to tell me, I need to hear it. You have to tell me. And so she looks at him and she says, I'm falling in love with you. Which is like so much pressure to put on someone.
Yeah.
Like, I literally couldn't. And tell me if you're like this. Like, I don't think I've ever said I love you first to someone in my entire life. Like, it's a very vulnerable, nerve-wracking thing to do. And to do it after three dates with cameras in your face and you're feeling like, if I don't say this, he won't pick me. It's like a lot of kind of like artificial pressure.
Yeah,
I just can't. I struggle doing that in private. Like, I mean, you know me. We've known each other for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And if I like a boy, I push him over and fart in his face and run away and never talk to him again. So the idea of saying to a boy that I like, oh, by the way, I like you and I think I might be in love. Never. Don't you feel the same?
Absolutely. And especially on camera. Like, it just quadruples the vulnerability levels and no, thank you very much. No, 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 no. And the first time someone did tell me that they loved me in a genuine way, all I could say was, really? Thank you.
I did that too. My first high school boyfriend, you know who he was. You met him.
Yeah, yeah.
He told me he loved me on the phone and I said, thank you. Oh. I didn't know what to do. Like, I don't know.
Oh.
Anyway, so, but she does it.
So she, well, I mean, she made it a deal breaker then and there.
Yeah.
It was like, you will be disqualified if you don't say the words.
Exactly.
You better say the words.
So she says she's falling in love with him. And then he just starts going on about how they have so much in common. Like, they both live in Melbourne and science and their abs. And that's kind of it. And I don't really see a lot of electricity between them. Like, they're sweet together. But I think I figured out the moment where I can understand why I think she's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because there's this moment when they're in the seaplane. And he, the whole time they're on the date, he's dropping clues about what numbers she might need to remember for the equation later. And so they're in the seaplane and he says something like, oh, blah, 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 we're 2,000 feet in the air. That's something you might want to remember for later. And she goes to him, is that a throw off or is that a real clue? And he looks at her and he gets this James Bond glint in his eye and he goes, no, this is a throw off. And he throws off her microphone and pulls her into him and just bashes her. And I was like, oh, my God, I get it. She makes him feel so cool. Because she's beautiful, she is, but she's also a huge awkward nerd. And I think when he's around, like, Abby and when he's, like, when he's been around all these super beautiful, cool women, he feels a bit awkward and weird when he's around Chelsea. He feels like hot 007 shit. And this, no, this is a throw off. And then he bashes her. It was like, oh, like.
She's so proud of that.
Yes, she makes him feel like a stud, which I don't think he's ever felt before and he quite likes.
Yeah, right.
So I think that kind of explains something that I haven't seen before.
Inferiority complex. I'm so sure there's got to be a level of inferiority complex there.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you said this is why you think she wins. Does that mean at this time you thought she was going to win then? Or does it, is this a hint that she wins?
That means at that time, in my notes here that I'm reading, I was like, oh, this proves she'll win.
Okay, cool. That still tells me nothing. Okay, cool.
Okay. So that's their date. Abby next. Okay, so he picks her up on a boat, kind of like a fancy speedboat. And then they just make out while a dude drives them around on the boat. Because all they do is, you know, they just make out a lot. And but honestly, immediately, the energy of this date is completely different. Like, it is like he comes alive when he's around her in a way that he doesn't with any of the others, also Chelsea. Like, he just, there's this spark between them and this electricity that this is why this season has thrown me off so much, because I've been like, they're giving Abby what is a clearly unfair villain's edit. But whenever he's with her, I'm like, they seem kind of perfect together because they just laugh the whole time. They just laugh and have fun and joke around and then make out. And I'm like, isn't that the perfect relationship? Just laughing and making out? So
it sounds ideal,
right? And so anyway, to me, like, the contrast from his date with Chelsea to his date with Abby, I was like, they're perfect for each other. But I don't know. What do I know? And then so they're going around on this boat while someone else is driving, and they need to sort of point out that Chelsea is really smart and Abby isn't. So they show this conversation where he's talking about, he's telling her about these rockets in space, and he's going quite deep into the, like, mechanics of how these rockets work and how they land and how something really exciting is coming up where the rocket's hopefully going to land in a particular way. And, like, and she's kind of nodding and like, yep, yep, yep. And then he gets to the end and he's like, oh, God, was that boring? And she's so funny. She goes, no, actually, I was preparing to be fake excited, but that actually was quite exciting. Because it was interesting. Like, and this is the thing. Everybody keeps going on about how him and Chelsea have so much in common and him and Abby could never connect on that level. But, I mean, I quite like the idea of, I've dated guys who have had very different skill sets and knowledge sets to me, and I've really appreciated that. And that's what I've found that I've liked about those relationships, and is that, like, I know a lot about writing. I know a lot about comedy. I know a lot about TV. I know a lot about this very particular career and skill set that I have. And like, I've dated guys who are in like the science field or whatever, yeah. and they tell me things, and I find it really sexy that they know shit that I don't.
Yeah.
And that I know shit that they don't.
Yeah.
So anyway.
There's nothing better than talking to someone who is passionate about a topic.
Oh, exactly.
No matter what the topic is, watching someone get really excited and hyped up talking about whatever it is that they know a lot about.
It's the sexiest
thing.
And that
they invest their discretionary time in.
Yes.
It's actually really, really fun to spend time with someone like that. You don't have to have the same interests at all.
No, that's what I think. And so that's why I was watching this whole episode and I was like, well, all they keep saying about him and Chelsea is they have so much in common. Mm. But to me, that doesn't matter so much.
Yeah.
Like, to me, I just think if you are passionate about your own shit and they're passionate about their own shit,
yeah,
and you're attracted to each other and get along, isn't that?
Yep.
Anyway.
Mm.
But they're trying to make Abby out to look like an idiot.
I like her.
I love her.
She's really endearing.
I know. Like, she's what people keep forgetting is she's 23.
Mm.
Like, for her to be this self-assured, confident, funny, articulate at 20, I mean, you knew me when I was 23. I was a mm-hmm. fucking mess.
True.
So, like.
But we all were.
We all were. Like, for her to be on national TV and to come off, like, as good as she has, I think is impressive. But so anyway, they make out on a beach, and this is something that blew everybody's minds on Wednesday night. So they have a pretty sexy makeout session. So like she's in a bikini and he's in his board shorts and they make out a lot in the, they're about waist deep in the water and they're fully like, it's a high school level dry hump situation.
Uh-huh.
And she whispers into his ear. And at first you think, she thinks probably the microphones can't hear. She just goes, I just really want to have sex with you right now. I'm sorry. I'm just so horny. And he starts laughing and she starts laughing. And it's like, and then they cut to them on the sand and she's on top of him, literally dry humping him. And it's like, if there weren't clothes, if there wasn't a bikini and board shorts there, there'd be full on penetration. Uh-huh. Like that's how hot and heavy this is.
Mm.
And she got blasted on Twitter for daring to be a woman saying to a man, I really want to have sex with you. Like, meanwhile, they've known each other for 3 months at this point. Like, they've made out a lot.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever waited 3 months to have sex with someone in my life. Like, you'd be despo to have full-on penetration by that point.
Uh-huh.
But she just was honest about it. And then people on Twitter were like, oh, she thought the mics couldn't hear her, but they could. It's like she knew the mics could hear her because they cut to her in a talking head and she's like, oh, yeah, we were getting pretty hot. What I want to do to him probably isn't appropriate for this time slot. Like, so she's saying, she's not trying to hide it.
Yeah.
Like, and she's just like, you know, we're at boiling point at this point. We just want to get it on.
Yeah.
Which I think is fair and great and, like, I think quite revolutionary for a woman on primetime television to be that open about her sexual feelings.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
She didn't say anything wrong. I don't see what people are taking issue with.
A guy you've been dating for 3 months, you're making out at the beach and you say, I really want to have sex with you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, jeez.
Like, burn her.
How dare she? Throw her in the river. Does she float? She's a witch. So then they go on a super yacht. A super yacht picks them up.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of talk about how it's a super yacht. It's not just a yacht. It's a super yacht. It's like, I'm not a regular yacht. I'm a super yacht. You know what I mean? I'm not a regular yacht. I'm a super yacht. So we hear the word super yacht about 35 times. It's basically just a yacht that is bigger than a... I mean, I don't know the sizes of yachts. You know, I don't subscribe to Monocle Monthly, so I don't know the sizes of yachts. But apparently this yacht is super-sized. And so they're on this yacht and they go around Sydney Harbour and then the super yacht like kind of parks. Is that the word for when a yacht parks? Anchors.
Moors.
I don't know. The yacht stops.
Yes.
Where it can see the harbour bridge.
Super yacht.
The super yacht. Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry. The super yacht stops where it can see the harbour bridge. And then they just sit like out on the deck of the super yacht and they make out a bit. And this is where, so she's already said that she's falling in love with him. So there's only one direction for her to go, and that's to full on L word.
Uh-huh.
And so that's like, that's what she has to do.
Uh-huh.
And so it's quite sweet. Like they have, you know, quite a lovely conversation and they stare into each other's eyes a lot and it feels quite serious and intense.
Mm.
And then she says, like, she says, and she seems really nervous about it and she struggles to get the words out. And a lot of people on Twitter said, I don't believe it, she was acting. But to me it was like, that's probably how I would say it too. Mm. Like she can barely say it, but then she says it. She says, I, and there's this really long pause and she says, I love you. And he looks at her like he loves her.
Oh.
And then they, and he smiles.
But he doesn't say it.
No, he's not allowed to say it.
Oh.
He's not allowed to say it to anyone.
Uh-huh.
And so he smiles like he's just so happy that she said it, and then they pash. Mm. But then he starts saying things like, I'm so glad you're always so open with me, and it's really good for me to be able to hear that from you, kind of framing it like, you don't look stupid for having saying that.
Mm.
You are very generous and open with your feelings, and that's a good thing.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Which is kind of like, does that mean she's lost?
I honestly
couldn't tell at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go to Eleanor, which is like, did you just forget she even existed?
A little bit. I can't tell you how much I struggle to keep it, especially because when you talk about Chelsea, you talk about her abs, and then there's Abby.
Oh,
and you
right.
don't talk about Abby's abs. It all just merges for me. But Helena, Perth, I can't.
And let's take a sip of our booze. So Helena is the one who last week was like, I can't. And she's going to be booted. So this date is so boring, but it's like, let's just do this anyway. And the funny
thing is,
what?
Some form of transportation.
Oh,
by the water.
Yes, he picks her up in a fancy car.
Aha.
I don't even know what it is, but they drive around in the fancy car and talk a lot about the fancy car.
Uh-huh.
And then they, no, there's no water, but they do go and have lunch at a table in a field.
Uh-huh.
And their plates are never filled. So they just sit there like waiting for a lunch that never comes. And her date is like, if everyone else's date was 10 minutes, her date is about, like 3 minutes, like, you know what I mean? And so anyway, they're sitting at the table having lunch, but not really because there's no food. And he brings up what happened last week at her hometown. Basically, he's like, you're a fucking psycho, but he doesn't say that. He's like, look, you said to me that you didn't think I was into you and that you also said your whole family thought that I was fake and was lying. And so what's the deal? And she's like, look, like, I'm so sorry. I just was really nervous and I can't explain and blah, blah, blah. And then do you remember what I said last week about how that whole freaking act she pulled was just manipulating him to basically send him away and see if he'll, you know, do what she wants.
Just call off the game and give her
and
the
so
ring.
So then she goes, look, I'm so sorry. She messes up here. She goes, I'm so sorry. I'm really not good at spilling my emotions and I'm not good at this stuff. But I just thought, you know what? If I tell him to go and then Matt's like, oh, well, thank you for your time, then I know that, you know, you don't care.
Mm.
But if you came back, then I knew that, you know, you think I'm worth fighting for. It's like, bum, bum, whoops, shouldn't have said that. So then they immediately cut to a talking head of Astrobatchy and he's like, he says, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
He goes, so she basically just admitted that she was testing me.
Yeah.
Like that is some immature, manipulative bullshit. And so then, and he says that to her because this is the thing I love about Astrobatchy. I think because he's not in television and he's a scientist, so he's very logical and cerebral.
Mm.
So he doesn't care about what makes good TV. He just cares about getting to the bottom of things. And so he says to her, that's really shitty.
Yeah.
That's a really messed up, unhealthy way to start a relationship. Yeah. You basically gave me an ultimatum. Like, you basically tested me to see, you told me really horrible things to see if I would still come back to you.
Yeah.
And she's like, look, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. I just can't. But, you know, I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I came back. And he just goes, yep.
Oh.
So he's not even, it's like, it's all over. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not even suspense. And so then he goes, how do you feel about being more open about your feelings? And she looks at him and she goes, can you elaborate? And he's like, and then they cut to a talking head with her. And it is kind of fair for people who struggle talking about their emotions. They cut to a talking head with her and she's like, every time I'm with him, I talk about my feelings. I'm so sick of talking about my feelings. And so he basically says to her, like, pretty much not in these words, but he says, this is the part of the process where you have to tell me you're falling for me or like, you know, we've been on 3 dates and if you don't say the L word, then I'm pissing you off.
Yep.
Like you're going. But she won't say it, which is sensible in real life. If you've been on 3 dates with someone, you don't drop the L word unless you're a psycho. So she won't say it. She just says to him, like, you know, I like you and I hope this goes somewhere. And that's sort of all she can offer.
Yeah.
But like on The Bachelor, not saying the L word on your final date is basically a crime on par with genocide. So as soon as she refuses to tell him that she loves him or is at least falling in love with him, she's effed. Cut to the rose ceremony. So there's no suspense here. She goes. Eleanor goes. And probably to save her dignity, because she's also just, you know, one of those cool, sexy girls that I knew in high school and could never hope to be like, she kind of just acts like she doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, he walks her out to the car and she's not crying. She's not upset. She just goes, it's all good. I understand. Don't worry. And then she just gets in the car and goes. So, and that's it. So that was Wednesday night.
Okay, I like her exit.
It was a great, like, this whole time I've been calling her subtly bitchy Eleanor and making fun of her, which she is subtly bitchy, but you know what? I love a good bitch. So I feel like she and I would be really good friends. And I love that she read the writing on the wall and was like, I'm not going to get picked, so I'm just going to start acting like I don't give an F.
Yeah. Which because is, she probably didn't.
Yeah, she probably, like, she's so hot. She's going to date a billionaire in 2 weeks. You know what I mean?
And now she knows how to impregnate an oyster.
Yes. So she's all set.
She's the real winner.
Oh, my God. Let's take a sip of our drinks. Okay. So what do you think? So we're left with Abby and Chelsea. Who do you think is going to win at this point? Because at that point, I could not pick it.
Based on what you've said about the fact that the edit for Abby couldn't possibly lead to Abby winning, then I think it's got to be Chelsea with the abs.
Yeah. See, this is what I thought too. I was like, there is no way they're giving her this terrible an edit and making her out to be this much of the villain just to have a surprise twist in the end, because that will just make people angry.
Yeah.
Because they've done that in the past. There was a season with a guy called Richie and there was this girl called Alex who they made out to be the villain the entire time to throw people off. And then in the end she won. And idiots on Twitter were furious. Like, basic Susans, who you know are my favorite people, were like, how effing dare this sexy villain, who is clearly a terrible person because Channel 10 played the villain's music, so I know I'm meant to hate her, how dare she win? And so it was this huge scandal that she won.
Yeah.
And I think, like, 10 couldn't handle the social media back lash from that, particularly after last year when the Honey Badger chose no one. So that was caused a lot of bad blood towards Channel 10. So this year, I kept thinking, oh, maybe they're setting up Abby to look bad because it's going to be a last minute twist. But then I kept thinking, no, because I don't think 10 wants to risk that.
Yeah, can't afford it. No.
So, but has been throwing me. I've been struggling to pick it.
Mwah!
Are you ready for the finale?
Yeah. Oh, you just shifted into another gear, my friend.
Here we go.
Your breasts are heaving.
They're heaving. God, I never have my girls out this much. And in front of a gay man, what's the point?
Felix and Dina are enjoying
Felix
it.
Felix and Dina. Well, Dino's engaged and Felix is, how old are you, Felix?
26.
Too young for me, so.
Must be at least 27 to ride this, I'm afraid. I'm enjoying the view. I really am.
Thank you, my darling. Thank you.
Milky white.
It's my rose ceremony dress. Mm. Okay, so the finale, otherwise known as Will He Think With His Brain or His Dick, is basically the theme of what Channel 10 has set up. His brain is Chelsea, his dick is Abby. Like, they're such dog C words for doing this to her. She's a 23-year-old girl, and they're just, the way they've set her up is really cruel. I think it's cruel.
Okay. Like dehumanizing.
Yes,
for
I
her.
Think so. Okay. And this isn't just what people are saying on social media. This is the way 10 are editing it.
Uh-huh.
They're making her out to be a total, like, sultry, sexual, witch, deviant.
Mm.
And Chelsea is, you know, the Madonna in the Madonna and whore of this situation.
Yeah.
And it literally the theme is, will he think with his brain or his dick? Like,
seductress,
that will be the winner.
Seductress or scientist.
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Crazy shocker. This final episode is in South Africa, which I didn't think they had the money for. So there's just lots of aerial shots of, like, elephants, zebras, animals everywhere. Africa. They're basically playing the Lion King theme song. Like, that is how, this is how super white Channel 10 does South Africa. They were too scared to go to Africa. They went to the South, where there's still lots of white people. So they're in South Africa. And we open with Astro Bacci, like, running and thinking in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And then he stops under a tree and there's lots of shots of animals.
Mm.
That's kind of it. But we know how they paid for it, because there's about 10 minutes of him checking in at South African Airlines.
Uh-huh.
And then he gets on the plane and it's a South African airline plane. And then he sits in the chair and it's a South African airline chair. And then he gets served champagne and there's a South African airline napkin. So it's like, oh, that's where the money is. That's why we're not in Bali. Because South African Airlines chipped in some cash. So,
was that enough mentions for us to get sponsored by South
hey,
African
South
Airlines?
Hey, South African Airlines, we want a holiday, please.
I love the Lion King.
Me too, right? That happened there, yes.
Question.
Yes.
Do they film the finale a long time after the actual season, or is this just all part of the same shoot?
I'd say this was shot literally, he dumped Eleanor and they got shipped to the airport and just went straight away.
Right. And you haven't mentioned Oshie yet. Is he still part of the game now, or they don't need him anymore to explain?
Oh, no. He's still there. Oh, I just feel like that was assumed.
Okay.
Yes, he was part of the last rose ceremony and he plays a bigger part than usual in this finale.
Okay.
It's so funny that, like, last week I did Oshie's podcast and we literally spent 20 minutes talking about Survivor and barely mentioned Bachelor at all. Like, neither of us care. Anyway.
But you both want to make Survivor happen.
We both want to make Survivor Bachelor happen. Survivor.
So your listeners can get on whatever bandwagon you can set
just
up.
Just go to social media, hashtag Survivor, tag me and Oshie, because we're trying to make it happen. And he told me, like, literally the logistics of, like, the island where they do all the Survivor challenges is not far from where they shoot Bachelor in Paradise. So everything's set up. All you need to do is just ship them over there, chuck them in barely any clothes, and get them to physically annihilate each other.
What is Bachelor in Paradise?
Not sexually, but...
but also sexually.
But also probably sexually. Oh, Bachelor in Paradise, oh my God. It's like where all the rejects from Bachelor seasons pass. So people like Cheeza, Bad Batch of Shit Cake, all get sent to an island to just each other and then fight and get mad and get drunk. And that's all. It's the best show in the world.
Ah. Is it a competition?
I don't remember. I honestly don't remember what the point of the show is, except it's really good viewing.
Great. The point of the story is we're going to make Savatula happen.
We're going to make Savatula happen. Okay.
Yes.
So we're in South Africa,
yeah,
which is safe.
Arnu.
Arnu. So, Astrobachi's running. He stops under a tree. That's pretty much it. Then Astrobachi's two Biffles come to South Africa so they can meet the final two girls and pick the one that they like. So we've got one guy called Jason who is a dorky science friend of his, and the other Biffle is Kate, that woman we met a few weeks ago who clearly wishes she was married to him but isn't, and they've been friends for a long time. And she didn't like Abby last time, if I can remind you.
Because of the synchronized sabotage.
From Sagan.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And also because I think Abby's just really beautiful and cool and she's jealous that he likes her because she wants to marry him, obviously.
Right.
Just quietly. I mean, I think she's married with kids, but haha, whatever. So, he sits down with his two Biffles and he tells them, and so she's like, before Astrobachi gets there, she says to Jason, the other guy, I'll be really surprised if Abby is here. So it's like she already has this weird hatred for Abby that I'm sure the producers said to her, remember Abby? And she was like, no. And they were like, you didn't like her and say that you don't want her to be here. So I do feel so. They've clearly like got her to say stuff. But and so she says to Jason, I'll be really surprised if Abby's here because I think she wasn't genuine and she's wrong for him. And then Astrobachi comes in and he tells them about this girl, Chelsea, that is there. And he says, like, the only thing that's wrong with her is that he feels like she's too good to be true. Vomit. And they're like, oh, my God, she sounds perfect. We've never met her, but she sounds amazing. And then he's like, and the other girl is Abby, and Kate's face is like, no, it's not. Like, she's mad. She is mad that he picked a girl that she does not approve of. Uh-huh. It's like, if you're not going to marry me, you're sure as hell going to marry someone I pick. It's intense. And so they sort of have a chat about how she's really surprised that he's picked Abby. And when they're talking about Chelsea, there's beautiful romantic music playing. And then when they talk about Abby, there's villainous music playing, which is like Channel 10, really, like, let it go. Like, stop it. Anyway, so then it's Abby's turn to meet them. And we open on her saying, like, she's really excited. She's like, I'm really good with families. I'm really good with parents. I'm not nervous at all. And it's like, oh, you're not good with jealous women, though, because you have not got along with most of the girls in the house, and you haven't got along with this girl who wishes she was his wife. And so then Bachi comes, and he's like, oh, okay, my family couldn't make it, so I've got two of my friends to come. And Abby's face is immediately like, oh, shit. And he goes, my friend Jason, and Abby's like, cool, I can deal with guys. And then he goes, and my other friend Kate, who you've already met, and Abby's face is like, so then they go, he brings her over and the four of them sit together and she sits down and I think she really wants to prove that she's serious because the whole problem last time was that Kate thought that she was too young and she didn't know if she wanted to get married and she wasn't serious enough. So as soon as they sit down, Abby's like, look, you know, we've been through a lot since the last time I saw you. And the first thing I really want to tell you guys is that I've told Matt that I love him. And villain music immediately plays. I know, like there's nothing subtle about this edit. It's so unfair. And like Kate just looks pissed off. So Abby's like, I told Matt that I love him. And there's this dirty look from Kate, villainous music. And then Kate goes, can we have a private chat, please?
Oh.
And just pulls Abby away.
Wait, so it was three of them, now it's just the two of them.
Well, it was four of them. It was Jason, Kate are the friends, Astrobachi and Abby.
Oh, Astro was there.
No, he's there.
Oh.
And so then, but Kate's like, can I take you away for a private chat? And Abby's like, sure. And so they go and sit down and the first thing Kate says to her is, I'm really surprised you're here.
Oh.
And Abby's just like,
ow.
And they cut to a talking head of Abby and Abby's like, I can't believe she said that to me. Yeah. Like, what am I supposed to say to that?
Mm.
And then she asks her, like, one more thing, like, oh, so how have things been going? And Abby's like, oh, you know, it's been great and I really like him. And then she cuts her, Kate cuts her off and turns to the producers and goes, can I have a minute? And then just gets up and walks off. And so Abby's sitting there like, what's going on? And then they cut to Kate and she says to the producers, I just don't believe anything she's saying. I don't believe her. I need a minute to rethink my questions because she's not giving me anything.
What?
And it's like, you talked to her for 40 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, what do you not believe? Like, it was so bizarre.
Mm.
And so then, like, Abby's just sitting there. Can you imagine being 23 and meeting your 33-year-old boyfriend's best friend who he's known for 20 years and who is clearly in love with him and quite possessive of him? Mm. And so then she comes back, Kate comes back and sits down and just starts firing questions at her. She's like, so what do you have in common with Matt?
Mm.
And Abby's like, well, I just think we make sense. Like, we see the fun in things. We see the positivity in things. We just, you know, we love being around each other. There's a great electricity between us. And then she goes, oh, you see the fun in things. What do you do for fun? And Abby goes, well, I mean, something I do with my girlfriends is like, I've got a book club. I mean, really, it's more of a wine club. And she starts laughing and Kate just looks at her like, is it? Like, it's like, she's not giving her anything. And then she goes, is marriage and kids something that you're looking for?
Mm.
And Abby's like, oh, you know, yeah, like I, because he's really important to me. Yes. And Kate goes, well, what's changed between now and 6 weeks ago when I met you and you said it wasn't? And Abby's like, well, I never said it wasn't. Anyway, we've had this conversation. Yeah. We've had the marriage and kids conversation. Mm. And then in a talking head, Abby's like, she clearly just came into this and not liking me and not wanting me to be with him. Mm. And it feels like there's nothing I can do to turn that around, but I'll try.
Mm.
And so then, I actually got a little teary in this part. Abby starts talking about her really difficult life and how her dad left when she was little and all that stuff I made fun of her for. Like, she had to get a job when she was a teenager because her mum was single. I was like, okay, whatever. But you know, she does start talking about how she had a very tumultuous childhood.
Mm.
And so she's really looking for stability and security.
Yep.
And she's never been willing to commit or willing to admit that she wants to commit because she's never found someone who's made her feel like she could have that stability and security.
Yeah.
And I completely understand that.
Yeah.
Like when people say to me, because I had a terrible childhood, and when people say to me, do you think about settling down? Do you think about getting married and having kids? I say, well, like, no, but also, yes, if someone comes along who makes me feel secure and stable and safe and I would commit to that person.
Yeah.
But otherwise, no, I don't think I would.
Yeah.
And to me, that makes
perfect sense, yeah.
Is that just because do you think that makes sense to everyone or?
Well, clearly not.
Yes.
Because these sorts of people having this sort of reaction.
Yeah.
But for me, it does absolutely make perfect sense. And I've had a similar conversation with many, many people that it's like, it's got to be about the circumstances. It's not about a blanket policy that you've got that you have to make this work and you'll compromise whatever you have to compromise to make it work.
Because then you'll just marry whoever and get divorced in 10 minutes.
Yeah. We're all on board.
So anyway, that's sort of what she says. And it's really heartfelt and lovely, the things that she admits. And then Kate just looks at her and blinks and goes, what do you see beyond this though? Like doesn't even acknowledge all the things she just admitted and how vulnerable she just got about her childhood and craving stability. And she goes, well, what do you see beyond this though? I mean, I just think maybe you're caught up in the glitz and the glamour of all of this. Mm. And Abby just says, like, she sort of just goes, no, I'm not. And then the conversation comes to an end and she goes, have I eased your worries at all?
Mm.
And Kate looks at her and says, I still have concerns, but it's not up to me, is it? And then that's it. How awful is that?
She's really fucking popular.
Yeah.
She has no empathy whatsoever by the sound of it.
What a dog, see you next Tuesday. I found it really difficult and awful to watch. Like, I just thought, like, she wrote her off for I don't even know what reason, because she's pretty and Matt likes her and she's jealous.
Mm.
Like, I found it really awful and horrible to watch.
You have no idea what the producers are telling her off camera,
exactly,
though.
Exactly, so exactly. Like, she's obviously also been manipulated to think certain things about her.
Yeah.
But it was just really horrible. But then Abby's so funny. So they cut to a talking head with Abby, and she's just like getting really annoyed. She's like, Abby says she's a bitch.
Mm.
And then the producer goes, do you think maybe she's just being protective of him? And Abby laughs and goes, ha. Possessive. And I was watching it with our producer, Dino, and I was like, Dino, there's no way she'll win because they can't have her slagging off his best friend and then she wins. Like, it's so obvious. Like, this edit, there's no subtlety or tension or suspense.
Yeah.
Like,
but worth it. Good on you, Abby.
But you know what? She just always said what she was thinking. She was always true to herself. Like, good effing on you.
Yeah.
Because that woman was awful to her for no reason.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Mm.
And if I was 23, I would have collapsed now if someone had been like that to me.
Yeah.
Like, meeting a friend of my partner. And anyway, she's great. So anyway, Kate and Jason, the other token science friend, talk about whether they think Abby's right. And Kate's like, well, we've seen lots of other Abbys in his life before.
Oh.
And it's like, yeah, and you've driven them all off, you psycho.
They've never been seen again. Yeah.
Never to be heard from again. So. Anyway, there's some history there. Yeah. Then we move on to Chelsea.
Mm.
Which, no suspense here. They're absolutely going to love her, and that's how this whole thing is being set up. Mm. And guess what? They do. No surprises here. It's basically like, well, she lives in Melbourne and they have a lot in common. It's true love. So as villainous as Abby's music was, is how romantic and lovely Chelsea's music is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not playing around.
Mm-hmm.
Chelsea doesn't even have to go and have a private conversation with Kate.
Mm.
Chelsea gets taken off by Jason, the nerd scientist friend, and she doesn't get grilled. He sits down and he says, do you want marriage and kids? And she looks unsure and says, yeah, in 3 or 4 years. And he goes, perfect. Your soulmates. Like, that's pretty much it. Like, and it's like Abby, like, kind of said the same thing, like a few years from now.
Yeah.
Yes. And then possessive, crazy, jealous Kate and Jason and Astro Bacci and Chelsea all sit together at a table and just laugh and have fun. And then at the end, Kate and Jason both kiss her goodbye. And then they say, we can't wait for the wedding.
Oh.
Like, and that's that.
Yeah.
And that's that.
Within earshot of Bacci.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they say it. Yeah. No, they say it to both of them, like jokingly, oh, we can't wait for the wedding. And it's like basically with Abby, they were like, we can't wait until you drown, slut witch, psycho. Like, there's no subtlety to the contrast of this edit.
Mm.
It's just the most boring episode ever. Like, unless they're pulling out a crazy twist at the end, this is nothing. And so then... Chelsea and Abby are both gone, and Astro Bacci talks to possessive psycho Kate, who wishes she was married to him, and random science friend Jason about who they liked. Who do you think they liked, Jacob?
Maybe Chelsea?
This is literally making me like an antagonistic teen.
You think maybe it was Chelsea they liked? Yeah, it was.
Punch someone in the face. So basically they talk about how Abby is the worst and Chelsea is the best. Uh-huh. And then Kate ends it by saying, I see you making a decision between a life partner and a girlfriend.
Mm.
And they talk about how he's always gone for fun girls in the past, which is code for sluts.
Mm.
And then Kate says, you always go for that immediacy, which is code for you always go for who you want to fuck. You know what I mean? Like, this whole thing is just gross.
Yeah.
Like, Abby is more than, like, this is a human person you're talking about. Mm. Like, it's gross.
Mm.
So anyway, They finish that. So the clear vote from his friends is go with Madonna Chelsea and not whore Abby. And then it ends with Astro Bacci saying in a talking head, like, I see a long-term future with Chelsea and it looks great. I can see a short-term future with Abby, but I really like her. And so I want to see what more I can figure out. And so now there's a final date left with each of them. Tell me some thoughts you have so far so I can drink some more of my wine.
Well, the entire time that you've been talking about South Africa, I've had the circle of life playing in my head. And so then I started recasting all the people you've been talking about as characters from The Lion King. And the two best friends started off as Timon and Pumbaa.
And it's except not that nice and lovely because they were kind of
Pumbaa seems kind of lovely. But yeah. Kate started as Timon and then I was like, oh, she might be a bit more of a Zazu. And then I was like, oh, actually, no, she's a Scar. And then I was like, oh, no, she's the Whoopi Goldberg hyena. No.
She's the actor who never even got cast in the movie and has been forever bitter about it. That's who she is. She's not even on the cast list, my friend. F that woman. I just thought she was nasty. Nasty lady.
Yeah. Again, it all comes down to the edit and scripting and manipulation and all that sort of stuff. But I mean,
I'd say at this point, the producers are fairly certain of who he's going to pick. So they were fairly certain he was going to pick Chelsea. So they were like, our storyline is going to be that Abby's a idiot whore and Chelsea is perfect. And so they would have pushed that narrative to his friends. So, you know, as much as I'm giving them shit, they would have been manipulated into thinking and saying a lot of the things that they were saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. So there's now a final date left with each of them. Not a lot happens, to be honest. So Abby,
are there vehicles involved?
No.
Oh.
So, some. Yes, I'm looking at my note. A little. Yes, a little.
Okay.
Abby and him have a date and it's just a blanket under a tree. And so I feel like at this point it's like South African Airlines only paid for the flights.
Yeah.
So the rest is on Channel 10's budget, so we're keeping it lean.
We're going to have to just find a public park.
Here's some cheese, here's a blanket, here's a tree. Make out for a while. And so they talk about how possessive, jealous, didn't make the cast list of Lion King. Kate is worried about Abby's intentions and about her age. And Abby is just kind of like, I'm 23. I can't change how old I am. I wish I could, but I can't. So I don't know what to tell you. Like, and to her credit, she doesn't say anything disparaging about Kate or how awful it was to be stuck in that situation with her and how nasty she was to her.
That's impressive.
Yeah. She just is like, you know, I'm sorry she feels that way. I think she feels that way because I'm young and I wish I could prove to her that I was serious. I don't know what else to do.
Yep.
Then a helicopter comes. So there is a vehicle. A helicopter comes and they fly over a meteor crater. So like a space thing. And it's really quite sweet because he is geeking out over looking at this giant meteor crater and she kind of like cares but not really. And then in a talking head she says, oh, you know, it's a little exciting, but I'm actually more excited to just see how excited he is.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
That's really lovely.
See, if someone's really passionate about something, it doesn't matter what it is. Yeah. You just enjoy being around them.
And if you love them, you love how much they love what they love.
Yes.
You know? And so I get it. And then so they end the date on another magic sex couch somewhere. And she says to him, I think that you're going to need to choose between your head and your heart.
Yeah.
And I think I have your heart. And she actually starts crying and she gets really emotional and she's and I feel sorry for her at this point because she's quite frightened. She's like, I've never met someone who's made me feel like I can admit that there are traditional things that I want, like settling down and getting married and having kids. She's like, I've never met someone who's made me feel that way, and this is very scary for me that I'm feeling that with you, and and there's this other girl, and I'm worried about it and whatever. And so it's like, I totally understood where she was coming from and felt it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I get that mm-hmm. feeling. And so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Their date's over after that.
Mm-hmm.
Then Chelsea's date is just so effing boring. Like, the dynamic between them is so boring that they go to look at animals. Like, they do, like, a mini safari.
Mm-hmm.
And 80% of their date, we focus on the safari tour guide telling them about the animals.
Uh-huh.
That is how little goes on between them
right.
that is interesting to watch.
Yeah.
And so we literally have the safari man talking about the animals for like most of the day.
Yeah.
And then when they're talking, they're just talking about looking at animals.
Yeah.
And then there's a warthog who just pisses everywhere on screen. And I was like, yes, like that warthog needs to be the next bachelorette, please. And so the whole thing of this date is she has said that she's falling in love with him, but she hasn't said, I love you uh-huh. yet. So that's the whole thing. It's like, is she going to say it? Oh, let's create some tension, but not really because we've already said Abby's a slut's going to lose.
Mm.
And so they go to a pool because we need to see both their abs again.
Mm-hmm.
This what they have in common is science and their abs. Oh, and they both live in Melbourne, so it's true love. And they're in the pool and they're making out and she says it. She says, I love you.
Mm.
They make out a lot. And they hug a lot and he smells her hair in a way that is quite like he's in love. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So that kind of threw me a bit. I was like, ooh, he loves her. Mm. But then there have been moments where I thought he loved Abby.
Yeah.
So are you ready for this final rose ceremony?
Uh-huh.
So you are not a Bachelor fan. Like, you've never watched, well, you are now because I've made it interesting to you.
But
you've
just the gist yeah. fan. Yeah.
Perfect. Mwah. Chef's kiss. But you've never watched The Bachelor before, right?
Never.
So here, the universal rule of The Bachelor is
yeah.
there's two people left,
yes.
two women left. The first one to get out of the car is the one who loses because he's waiting,
yes.
you know, on a hill somewhere.
Yeah.
They're both driving up in a limo.
Yeah.
The limo pulls up. Whoever gets out first is the loser because they want to end on the winner.
Both girls are in the same limo.
No.
Oh, two different limos.
They're okay. in two different yep. limos, right? So everybody universally when they're watching The Bachelor in the final episode, whoever pulls up first
is going home.
You see their legs get out of the car and uh-huh. you're like, oh, my God, that's who's going home, right?
Right. Okay.
So I'm sitting here in the studio yeah. and I'm with Dino and Felix,
yeah.
our producers, and I mean, at this point, it's like it's so obvious Chelsea's yeah. going to win. And so, and even in the car, so they're both driving up in their respective cars and the edit they have on Chelsea is her saying, oh, I hope I don't get my heart broken. And then the edit they have on Abby is, I'm pretty confident. Mm. I just want this to be over and done with so we can start our life together. Like, how dare you be confident about the outcome?
Arrogant slut.
And so then we cut to Astro Bacci, who goes and meets Oshi, and they're on like a hill, and he meets Oshi under a giant peen tree. So it's a penis tree.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a tree, but there's this bit that kind of overhangs like a like a half erect, half flaccid penis. And I was just screaming, laughing, saying, it's a pain tree, it's a pain tree, it's a pain tree. So that's where they meet. And I think some kind of producer thought, oh, this is a romantic location, but it is literally a half flaccid, half erect pain tree. And so Astro Bacci meets Osha and they talk about love and how, you know, he says, I've found the love of my life and I'm about to tell her and I'm very excited. And so then Oshie's like, good luck to you. And he walks off.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first car pulls up.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for this?
Yes.
The door opens.
Yeah.
She steps out.
Yeah.
Camera to her face.
Yeah.
It's Chelsea.
Oh.
Ah.
Ah. So.
I was screaming. screaming, 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 screaming. Like, just.
Twist.
major twist to the point where, like, someone walked to the studio because I think they thought someone was getting attacked. Like, I was screaming. I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. He picked the right person. He picked the person he's actually in love with and not just the person he lives in the same city as.
Uh-huh. But did he? Yeah, okay.
So then she walks and you're like, she's walking to him and he's going to tell her that she's lost.
Mm.
And this is the way every other episode of Bachelor has ever gone.
Yeah.
But then she walks to Osha.
Uh-huh.
This is unheard of. This is a weird twist. And so then she just talks to Osha about her feelings for a bit. Mm. And then he's like, okay. And then she goes and stands in some South African grass. And then we cut to Abby. Abby gets out of her car and then commercial. So at this point, I'm literally on the floor.
Yeah.
I could not handle the outpouring of emotion, plus I'd had a bottle of wine. So I would, like, the way they made me scream, for a hot second, I thought she'd won. It's exhausting.
Okay.
So then, and about this point is when you arrived and I was like, get him out of here. He can't see. So then I sent you away, but not before I got the new bowl of wine you brought me.
Jacob Brings.
And so then we come back from commercial. Abby's just gotten out of the car. She walks up to Osha and they talk. And then it looks like she's going to also go stand in some South African grass.
Yeah.
And so then Abby and Chelsea are both standing in South African grass.
Together?
No, in separate places, but in the same South African grass.
Okay. It's a big continent.
And then
continent. Yep.
We see who walks to Astrobachi first. And it's
Abby.
Abby.
Oh.
And they start playing the sad music. For the first time ever, they don't play villain music. They play sad music. F you guys. So she walks up to him and she's sure she's got it.
Yep.
And he just goes on about how great she is and how they have this great spark. And then he says, but my heart belongs to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And her face is like, what the fuck? And I love that she's not going to let him get away with it. Like, because generally the kind of role we cast women in, particularly on shows like this, is that when you have been rejected, it's your job to be gracious and to just say, I'm sorry, it's not me. I hope you're happy. Goodbye.
Yeah.
But she says, can you explain? So she fucking wants to know, which wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And he says, there's nothing to explain. My heart belongs to someone else.
Mm.
And she says, so you lied. Because he kind of has been. I was saying that, well, no, he's not allowed to say who he's not allowed to tell any one girl that he loves her.
Uh-huh.
But I was saying to Dino while we were watching, like, he didn't have to grind up on her so much. You know what I mean? Like, they have been. I think if you're in love with someone, he would have known a few weeks before. Like, he would have known it was Chelsea 3 or 4 weeks before this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so to keep going on, he didn't have to make out with her so much. He didn't have to grind his paint. I mean, I know he just didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
He could have made out with her and kept the suspense of the show going the way the producers wanted him to. Without basically, you know, like, dry ejaculating into his pants while they were making out.
Mm-hmm.
You look like you don't agree.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the whole thing to me, it's all just so bizarre. You've all signed up for the same set of rules.
Mm.
And it means that the normal rules of society just don't apply.
That's true. That's fair.
He didn't lie. You're all involved in this game. That game happens to involve manipulating people's emotions.
Yeah.
And so he's playing by the rules.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I just probably didn't have to grind his peen on her binge, but
I mean, you've made her sound like she's pretty hot and
she is. So why wouldn't you? So yeah, that's true, actually. There you go.
She didn't get nothing.
So then she just kind of says, I don't know what to say. This is really overwhelming. And she says, I wish you had told me earlier, which I think is also fair. Like, he could have brought someone to the end that was clearly not, like, Chinese tourism robot or something. You know what I mean? Like, anyway, and he says, I brought you here because there was a real connection. And then she sort of composes herself and she says, okay, as long as you're happy, that's all that matters. And she gives him a very brief kiss on the cheek and just walks off. And as she's walking off, she says, I just want to get the f*** away from him and I want to go home. Which I love. Because, yeah, wouldn't you?
You f***. Dog.
And then in the car driving away, she kind of says things that I think are going to get her eviscerated in the press. But to me, I think it was quite clear she was incredibly hurt and trying to save face.
Yeah.
So she's sitting in the car driving away and she's just going, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm completely fine. I don't even feel like crying. She goes, I'm just mad about the flight home now. I'm just mad about the long flight. I'm fine. I'm honestly fine. And then she goes, I mean, maybe I don't love him. I mean, if I did, wouldn't I be more upset? I'm not even upset. He's chosen who's right. I'll get over this before it even airs. I'm fine. I'm fine. I don't care. But she's like on the verge of tears. Yeah. Like, so she's clearly not fine.
Yeah.
And a producer says to her, you seem angry. And she says, I'm just embarrassed. And then she starts crying and she says, I feel silly for thinking that this would work out. And then she says, and this really hit me in the guts because this is how I feel as well about being vulnerable and opening myself up to people, which I don't do often. She says, I'm resilient. My life means that I'm resilient and I'll get over this. I'll get over this. But it's obvious that she's saying it to convince herself.
Yeah.
She's like, I'll get over this. I'll get over this. And then she says, I just never thought I would feel this way from this experience, which I think is her saying, I came on this dumb show and I didn't think I would
care so much.
Yeah. And that's it. Then she's gone. And so then here we go. What an exciting ending. Chelsea with the abs and like science gets out of the limo, walks up to him. He says, I never believed in the perfect woman until I met you. And this is where I liked it because Chelsea is bland and boring and a scientist with abs, but also she's talked a lot about how she's had guys treat her badly in the past and, you know, she has a lot of problems with self-worth because of how she's been treated in the past and she's sweet and shy and I think that's why she doesn't come across as well as Abby does on TV because, like, Abby is destined for, you know, a career in media. She's great. She's charismatic. You can't stop looking at her. She's articulate. She's funny. Chelsea is pretty, but she's awkward and not great to watch and kind of boring. And so anyway, he says, I never believed in the perfect woman until I met you. And her face, it's really sweet. She's genuinely shocked by that. Her face is like, what? Like, she can't believe that he said that. And then which I get because I never feel good enough. So if a guy said that to me, I'd be like, really? Yeah. You can really feel that she genuinely is shocked that he tells her he thinks she's perfect. And then he says, Chelsea, I love you. And she looks away and she says, what? And then she turns back to him and says, I thought you were dumping me.
Oh.
It's really sweet. Oh. She genuinely did not think she was going to win. She's just a cute sweetheart.
Oh.
And then he just kind of...
I thought you were wiping away a tear then, Felix.
Felix is crying. And so then he laughs and he's like, I'm not dumping you. And then he lists all the things that he loves about her besides abs and science.
Yeah.
And it's very cute. Like, he's like, I like the way you giggle when you get nervous and I like this and I like that. It's very sweet.
Yeah.
And then he says, and it's cheesy, but it's very sweet. He says, you make me want to believe in fairy tales because when I'm with you, I feel like I'm living in one. Jacob's face is so unimpressed. It's cheesy, but in the moment it felt very sweet. Like, and then they kissed.
I hope someone wrote that for him.
Oh, of course.
And I hope they were paid very poorly.
He's not good with the words. Someone wrote that for him. And so then they kiss. And they're both so happy and they're both crying. And then he gives her this, what looks like a $10 Lovisa ring. Nah. Like it's this ugly, garish ring that he's very clear.
He's very clear
it's not an engagement ring. He says, this is a gift that I want to serve as a memory of our time together. And then he puts it on her finger and it's like from the $10 rack at Lovisa. and then he says, I love you, Chels. And she says, I love you too. And they kiss under the peen tree, and then it cuts to credits.
Take it away. It's the circle of life. Okay.
That's it. That's the end. And so that ended, and then you walked into the room a minute later and we started recording.
Okay.
But then I went on Instagram just before we started recording, and Abby posted something on Instagram that, can I read it to you?
Yeah.
I know everybody gives her so much shit and says that she's not genuine and she's the worst. But what she said here, I really feel and understand.
Yeah.
So let me read it to you. The only way I can describe this moment, it's a photo of the two of them when he's about to break up with her. The only way I can describe this moment is complete and utter shock. I was numb. I couldn't and didn't want to feel anything. I had felt for weeks that what Matt and I had was real, and I trusted him wholeheartedly when he told me how he felt about me. From hometowns, I forgot the cameras were there. Probably why you said you wanted to him on camera. Didn't feel like we were filming a show at all. It felt like we had this real relationship built in a little bubble of The Bachelor, and we would be out soon and able to live a normal life. Hearing Matt say, my heart is with someone else, reminded me that we were filming and that Matt had to make a difficult decision and he did not see in me what I saw in him. I felt silly for ever imagining Matt would love me. It was like emotional whiplash. I was so confused and it felt like I was in a dystopian reality. The second the cameras turned off, I sobbed, I screamed, I couldn't breathe. I didn't think this would be how it would end. I spent weeks crying about this relationship that had almost no closure. I still haven't fully healed from my relationship with Matt, but I know he and the gorgeous woman he is with are happy, and that's all that matters.
I stopped listening. That's very long.
Abby, that was nice.
You shouldn't Instagram caption to write something six paragraphs long. What Dino, you need to read is what Dino is showing
you. Why? What is Dino showing me right now? Oh, my God. What are you showing me?
This will give you life.
According to new reports out of the Daily Mail, there are multiple sources who claim Matt gives Chelsea the final rose but has since split from the chemical engineer and is dating Abby. Yes, I've heard these rumors.
Oh.
I don't know if it's true, though. Is it true? I mean, wouldn't it have come out after the show by now that that's true?
I don't know the rules. I just know that Abby was in Chermside today, Brisbane.
Which was on the Daily Mail. So, and Mecca got a good mention. It was like Abby was spotted shopping at Mecca Cosmetica in Chermside. So that means she's lost was basically the headline today. But I think she was genuinely upset, I think.
Yeah.
I think people who say that she didn't actually like him are shitheads.
Yeah. Look, I'm seeing Abby through like several lenses because there's...
Well, see her through mine because mine is the correct one.
I see her through the lens that you give me, which has gone through the lens that the producers have put on her for the show.
Mm-hmm.
So all I can say is everything that I've seen through these double lenses is actually really flattering. It seems like she's very smart. It seems like she's very honest. It seems like she's articulate. It seems like she's got a great sense of humor. It seems like she knows who she is.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like she's actually got a really incredible future ahead of her.
That's what I think too. And all the smart, funny women I know in my life are all Team Abby. They're all just like, this edit is bullshit. She seems cool. She seems funny. She seems in touch with herself. She seems like... she is so, like, what's the word? Self-aware. And for someone who is 23,
yeah,
that's nuts. Yeah. Imagine where she'll be in 10 years. That's she'll be ruling the effing world.
Yeah.
So everyone I know who I think is good quality thinks she's good quality.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Good on you, Abby. This is a step forward.
I think so too. Let's try and get her on. Oh,
ooh.
When she gets set free by the Channel 10 publicity department, let's get her on.
Felix. Come on, Felix.
Let's do it. You can do it. Let's get her on.
Yeah. And look, Chelsea actually sounds like a really, really, really impressive person.
I go on about how much I love Abby and how shitty it is that she got this edit and how Chelsea's kind of bland or whatever. But Chelsea seems so sweet and how genuinely shocked she was that he chose her was very endearing and lovely. And I do think, to be honest, that they are perfect together because they're just bland and they love science and they have abs.
Yep.
And it's like, and they both live in Melbourne.
Yeah.
So it's true love. I think, it's great. And I would love to see Abby be the bachelorette after the next bachelorette. Mm. Like, I think Abby's going to do fine. And I think Chelsea and Astro Bacci are sweet together.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
Uh-huh.
And so how do you feel? That's your very first experience of not watching, but of at least being invested in The Bachelor.
Yeah. It feels like it's gone by real quickly, but also lasted a long time.
We've been doing it for a couple of months.
Yeah. I still don't know what they look like. So that's like I've created these mental pictures for myself, but they're probably such a massive distortion from what they actually look like. So now I feel like I can actually Google them and
yes, you now have permission to go and Google them all, which I know you won't.
No.
Because you don't give a shit.
But even better, we're going to get them in as special guests for our episodes.
So.
Yeah.
So have you had fun doing this?
So much fun. You've done a great job. I've laughed so much each episode. It's awesome.
I'm glad because I was so worried, because I did the written recaps for so long.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not sure if this will work verbally. Yeah. And I'm glad people stuck with us because for the first couple of weeks, we were kind of figuring out how to make it work and trying to find our feet. And I think we're really in our rhythm now. And also, on a personal note, you know that I stopped recapping The Bachelor just after our best friend and my soulmate Tony died.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to do it for a long time because I just felt like I didn't feel funny anymore.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like I wanted to do funny stuff anymore. Mm. And he was such a huge part of me doing the recaps and he would help me write jokes and and so he died 3 years ago and this is the first time I've even talked about The Bachelor since he died. And I thought I would hate it, but I've loved it.
Yeah.
Coming back into it and talking about it again and joking about it again has actually been quite lovely.
Yeah. And you've done a very, very good job as well. You can tell that you love it because you've done it so well.
Yeah, so. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. And so it's been really fun and I'm glad we're going to do The Bachelorette.
I don't know how you find the time, considering all the stuff that you've got going on right now.
I know.
It's amazing. But, yep, here we go. Jumping straight in. Bachelorette next week.
Wednesday, Thursday, man.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I just find the time.
Schedule all your other TV, movie, and stage commitments around that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm kind of amazing. Yeah. What can I say?
I don't know how she does it, Felix.
I don't know how I do it. Especially with these boobs popping out of this ridiculous dress I've worn. I guess this is us signing off from Astro Bacci.
Do we cheers again?
Let's cheers again.
Yeehaw.
Cheers. Woo. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we'll be doing Bachelorette from, next week or whenever it starts. And then after that, we'll just the gist other shit.
Oh, yes. Keep suggestions coming.
Yeah. All right. Love you all.
Bye.
Love you, Jacob. Bye.
Love you too.
Listener.